This may be a little bit surprising, but I haven't seen you for about 48 hours. And so what I see is just a little more Christ in all of you. Amen. This is a daily thing. As we exercise our spirit and abide in Him, we're not aware of it, we don't measure ourselves, but something is really taking place organically. Okay, message 7, spiritual warfare. To bring in the kingdom of God and living in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. I want to emphasize again that based upon what's revealed in the New Testament, the essence of this message is altogether experiential. Just knowing about spiritual warfare is nothing more than that. But there will be, this age is coming to an end, intense spiritual warfare, especially in continental Europe. With that in view, at the beginning of the last year, 2023, a number of brothers here, they just requested that for a few months, once a month, on a Saturday, that you, Brother Ron, would give us some training concerning spiritual warfare. And so the first two words are spiritual warfare. I just need to make some comments related to this so we have the same understanding as we proceed, especially with the first portion of the outline. That we are familiar with this well-known book, The Experience of Life, way back from the 50s. And the second stage begins with consecration and then brings one to living according to certain basic things that opens the way for the third stage. And while I'm sitting here with you, my heart is still aching that there are thousands of brothers and sisters in churches who have not grown in life through the third stage. Some have been, it's been decades. This is not criticism, but it's an awareness. Because the third stage is the experience of the cross applied to us experientially. The cross applied to the flesh, to the self, to the natural constitution. And when we have passed through these steps, then we're ready to enter into the fourth stage. But because this third stage is so crucial, I was asked when we began to have the training after the first 2 years of the full-time training, some would go to the Boston area and there they would be serving. And then some were there for another year, not just for learning, but for functioning. And so I just devoted for several months, just to walk through the third stage. And I told them sincerely, realizing this now, will save you at least 10 years. Because as I was in the early years in the Lord's recovery, there was no teaching at all about the third stage. They just went again and again over the second stage. But this is going to save you much time, so that 10 years from now, you'll be ready for warfare. And so that is bringing us to the awareness. And here's what happens at the end of the third stage, with the cross deeply operating on ourself, on our natural constitution. Then we will realize the life we have is corporate. It's the life of the body of Christ. It's not individual life. And so gradually there will be a body consciousness, because the life that is coming to the surface is not limited by the flesh, the self, and the natural constitution. Then there's a realization. This is a body matter. And then effortlessly, we become body conscious. And then you look at the beginning of Brother Lee's teaching on this, that now the first aspect is knowing the body. Knowing the body. And if someone really knows the body of Christ organically, then they are not criticizing anybody, but almost instantaneously they can determine whether this brother or this sister knows the body or not. And so I believe the Lord will, especially in vital groups of praying, what will be in a larger church prayer meeting, I don't know what will be carried out. That's hard to say. And so the spiritual warfare is based upon all that I tried to briefly mention. Spiritual warfare to bring in the kingdom of God. It's not going to come in just gently. Oh, you're doing such a wonderful time. Here it is, the manifestation of the kingdom of God. There's going to be warfare to bring it in. Because Satan does not want the power of the kingdom of God to be on the earth. So that is why we need to have the first portion here. And then based upon that, we'll be in another realm, living in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. We'll realize the essence of the kingdom is of the Son of God's love. And the Lord is ruling us in this atmosphere. I believe it'll be very touching when we get to that portion. And I'll keep my eyes on the clock for two reasons. One is not to go beyond about 70 minutes, so you have plenty of chance to share, but also to balance the content. Okay, the purpose of spiritual warfare is to bring in the kingdom of God. So in Matthew 6:10, it's part of the prayer. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. What a simple prayer. The kingdom of God and the will of God are almost identical. So spiritual warfare is necessary because Satan's will is set against God's will. So as we go through this, it's our will. If there's been a procedure of transformation, as indicated in Romans 12, we're being renewed, we're being transformed by the renewing of the mind. But then the goal is the will. And our will has to be brought into resurrection, because it's a battle of wills. And so in the universe right now, the war is taking place between the will of God and the will of Satan. And the Lord needs maturing saints that will exercise their will to be absolutely one with God in every aspect. B, spiritual warfare as its source in the conflict between the divine will and the satanic will. That is the essence of the warfare taking place at this very moment. Lucifer's pride in his high position and beauty gave rise to an evil intention, which became the satanic will. Just those words, so ugly, satanic will versus spiritual divine will. Before the archangel of God rose up to contradict the divine will, there was no war in the universe. The rebellion of Lucifer was the beginning of all the fighting that is now taking place among nations, in society, in the family, and within individuals. God wants his creature, man, to deal with his fallen creature, Satan. For this, the human will must stand with the divine will. I want to pause here. And I mentioned this before. I'm aware of that. But I want to emphasize, I don't know of any other way to have a Christian life other than realizing I am here, not only under the throne, under your authority, but I was created, I was redeemed, I was regenerated, so that I may live under and for the perfect will of God. Whatever it is. And if you read, let's say you took half an hour and just read through 1 Peter, how many times he speaks of our will under God's government, that our will is in harmony with the will of God. It cannot be lukewarm. And so, because it's this battle, God wants the creature, man, to deal with his fallen creature, Satan. I'm repeating, for this, the human will must stand with the divine will. So each one of us, as open vessels in our personal relationship with the Lord, we shouldn't be reluctant. We shouldn't be held back to say, Lord, to what extent am I absolutely one with your will? That I can look back personally in the last 2 years, certain things that were not pleasant. But behind it was God's will for these things to take place, for him to go on further and further without any reluctance. D, as the church are fighting, is to subdue the satanic will and defeat God's enemy. So this is part of our requirement, to subdue the satanic will and defeat God's enemy. So in the country where you live, I'm focusing on Europe now, where the most intense spiritual battle at the end of this age is right here. It takes place in so many other parts of the earth, there's no doubt. But the crucial war is here. And so we need to be prepared for this and trained for this so that we can corporately, we'll see, apply the victory of Christ. He fought for victory. We fight in his victory. Just to realize, from God's point of view, the victory has been won, but it hasn't yet been absolutely applied. This will be in stages. The spiritual warfare is the warfare between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. In Matthew 12, those two verses plus other related verses are really worthy much study and prayer. They've been helped us very much. That the Lord Jesus cast out demons and religious ones. You're casting out demons like all these unbelieving people. And he said, this is impossible. When I'm casting out demons, the kingdom of God is being manifested. And so we can look at some of the details here. The kingdom of God is versus the kingdom of Satan. God's kingdom is eternal, both in time and in space. Satan's kingdom is not eternal. We want to make it really limited. We want it to be brought to an end. Let it go to the lake of fire. God's kingdom is legal, whereas Satan's kingdom is not legal. For it was established by rebellion against God. Rebellion. It might be quite helpful, as time allowed for you, you just look again to some of Brother Nee's writing on spiritual warfare related to these two kingdoms. That I hope that in the coming age, I hope we can get to know each other. I'd like to ask Brother Nee, what was taking place within you during those 20 years? It wouldn't surprise me if he would say, well, you know that one of the last things I wrote was, I maintained my joy. But the main thing I was doing was twofold. One is experiencing life to be flowed throughout the earth. And I've been engaging in spiritual warfare for 20 years. Because it's not merely some kind of outward event. And I can't dwell on this. But I believe the sovereign God at this very moment is waiting finally to hear prayers of warfare rising up all over the earth. So again, I just ask you, again, calmly, how much in the prayer meeting of the church where you are, or in a home meeting and praying, how much prayer has there been concerning the prayer of spiritual warfare, the prayer to bring the authority of God to the earth? There's just a vast realm that the Lord would lead and guide us to save us from ordinary prayers. And if you want to read something quite enlightening, well, I wouldn't say if you would like to, if you feel you need to. In those books, about 8 of them, about the elder trainings, book 2, chapter 10. And at the very beginning of that message, Brother Lee said, I asked you to come to the meeting this morning a half hour ahead to have a prayer meeting. But he came in at the end of that half hour and he stood up. He said, I could not enter into your praying at all. And then he used these words, prayer that is not prayer. I've been in meetings this year, prayer meetings, all kinds of prayers verbally, but deep within, this is not genuine prayer. And one verse that is enlightening and convicting is John 15:7. That if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done. In other words, the Lord is praying and his prayers become our prayers. And then we pray our prayers that are his prayers. And then he will take action. And so there was just much here. The spiritual warfare, again, is not fighting for victory. It's to apply the victory. And the key way is a particular kind of prayer. Prayer of authority. Prayer of victory. And that book that goes back to the 50s, about lessons on prayer, it may be worthwhile to skim through it and see if certain parts are of it. Because this is going to be a crucial function all over the earth. And so 1 and 2, and A and B under 1. God's kingdom is eternal, both in time and space. Satan's kingdom is not eternal. God's kingdom is legal, whereas Satan's kingdom is not legal. 2, the kingdom of God will not come automatically. In order for the kingdom of God to come, there is the need of spiritual fighting. Brothers, what are we going to do with this? These are not just words on a page. After the time we've been together here, what will we do with point 2? The kingdom of God will not come automatically. In order for the kingdom of God to come, there is the need of spiritual fighting. What is spiritual fighting? Is there something rising up in at least in a number of you? Lord, I want to know what this is. We need to carry this out. The brother here is trying to share something with us. We're not just giving a message. Let it fly away. The Lord wants to enlighten us and then train us in whatever way He feels is the most beneficial way. 3, the responsibility of the church is to continue the victorious work that Christ has carried out against Satan. So the church continues the victorious work. It's based upon Christ's victory. So it's not hard to understand the words. Christ is victorious. He defeated Satan, the devil, on the cross. He conquered every negative thing by the power of His resurrection. Now He has ascended. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. What a position He has. But now, based on that, we need to participate in carrying out, applying His victory. And we're looking something face to face. It seems far from victory. One blow, one attack after another. But if we're governed by the vision, and we know the reality, we don't go by our feeling or our natural thinking, we realize the victorious Christ is on the throne with all authority in heaven and on earth. And now in His name, we apply His victory to this situation right now. Amen. And we rebuke the enemy. That's our position. 4, the kingdom of God is the exercise of the divine will and the overthrowing of the power of Satan by the power of God. But notice the exercise of the divine will. I want to emphasize this again and again, not just here, but in various other gatherings, that all the saints realize Revelation chapter 8, verse 11, all things were created because of God's will. Then what is God's will? We turn to Colossians. The perfect will of God is that the all-inclusive Christ be our life, our person, and everything. We say, amen. This is the will of God for me. Then we go to Ephesians chapters 1 and 3. the eternal will of God is to have the church, the body of Christ. So now we know. And so in chapter 5, maybe the verses around 15 or 16, where Paul says, we need to understand what the will of God is. So now it's settled for us permanently. I'm here for God's perfect will to be done. And the focus of the perfect will of God is Christ and the church. I am living here for Christ and the church. Now, once this has been permanently settled between us and the Lord, then we can open our being, as the Lord is waiting, and say, Father God, what is your will for me right now? When I had the open heart surgery and couldn't do anything for 12 weeks, it was a time arranged by the sovereign God, but a simple prayer is, Lord, what is your will concerning me now? You didn't want me to pass away at that time. You want me to be here. What is your will for me? And also to make it clear, what is not? And one of the indicators of what his present will is now is, it's not what I've been doing for 20 years. It's not that I've been going there every year. I'm not having this kind of conference. We're not living in the past. What is your will for me now? Because you know I'm living for the will of God concerning Christ and the church. That again and again, I refer to verses, and I'll make no apology for repeating this. At the end of Matthew 7, many will come to the Lord and say, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in the heavens. Then the next verse says, so many, these are all believers, all serving ones. They're standing before him and say, Lord, look how much we did. How many we gained through the gospel. We did this and that. The Lord doesn't say you didn't do it. But this is what he said there. It's going to be spoken to a large number of brothers and sisters. I don't know you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Why? Because in this realm of grace, and the Lord blesses in so many ways. We're preaching this, we're doing that, we're going there, we're accomplishing that. But the time will come when the Lord will ask, what was the source of all that you've done? And all that you've, where you've been? Then really the Lord is saying, it was your own, wasn't it? Not the Father's will. Again, I'm referring to Brother Nee, that he was outside of China for a period of time in Hong Kong. And because he was there, he could go to UK, he could go to New York. But one day he asked someone to take him to the train. And he went back into China. And he knew what was happening. And you remember? After the election of the president in 1948, he called together all the co-workers to come together with him. And he said that you know what is taking place. That we know that the one who will be president of the United States will not fight on our behalf. He will allow, I'm not going to give the name for various reasons, they're going to come in and conquer the country. And you all have to be ready to suffer, except Brother Lee, you have to leave, either for Hong Kong or Taiwan. And then Brother Nee told us openly, when they were taking a walk while dinner was being prepared, and they were just fellowshipping, they're just weeping. And Brother Lee said, why do I have to go? Why am I not worthy to stay? And Brother Nee said, it's not that. We have to send someone out so that the Lord has a way to continue. And I remember his testimony when he got to that island. He said he was just lying on the bed looking into the ceiling. What am I doing here? Why am I here? Then the burden came. He preached the gospel and 20,000 people were saved. And look what developed there. Then look what flowed out all over the earth from that island. So this is really the will of God being done. It's settled for Christ and the church. And surely it was God's will for Brother Nee to remain and to spend the rest of his days in that situation. But he also knew, for the benefit of the body, the will of God for Brother Lee is to press on. Then he came to the United States. And from that point of view, he could go all over the earth. I so much appreciate these two brothers obeying the will of God until the end. And if you would read again the letter Brother Lee wrote in March of 1997 for the whole recovery, and he just spoke at the end about the perfect will, the will of God. He was just finishing his course, obeying the will of God. What a pattern for all of us. Point five, whenever the devil has been cast out, and wherever the work of the enemy has been displaced by God's power, the kingdom of God is there. And so, yes, we are in the kingdom, as the prior messages have indicated. But now we realize there's the spiritual warfare aspect of the kingdom. And that is why we need this portion of this outline. Then section F, a quotation from Psalm 110. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your warfare. in the splendor of their consecration. This is on the Lord's heart. For brothers and sisters of all ages, when the Lord comes to rapture the living overcomers, many will be teenagers. Others will be beyond octogenarian, beyond that. So that we would, because your people offer themselves willingly in the day of your warfare. And so there needs to be a time, maybe some sharing some messages, I don't know, for all their brothers and sisters to consider Ephesians 1:10. Don't you realize we're at the end of the age? What would happen, you know, with so many of those rocket type things they're bombarding in the, you know, where they're going? Let's suppose we find out this afternoon one of these goes off course and that explodes on the Temple Mount and blows up those two buildings. And now there are hundreds of Jewish people. They've been prepared for everything to rebuild. And then we know from the prophecies and from the life studies, clearing them up, that surely all the nations around will be ready to attack. But the leader, the governor of Israel, will make a contact with a powerful person in Europe. And I find it hard to believe he's not alive yet. He may only be 19, may only be 23. But eventually he's going to be the Antichrist after he's seemingly put to death and has a pseudo resurrection. It could change in a few days. And then we will all realize once the one in charge of Israel made this contact with this powerful leader in Europe, the 70th week has begun. And we will all know we'll be here for the 3.5 years. And that is when the living overcomers within me, there's not laughing, but there's just a joyfulness. Lord, I really hope to be there. I just wonder what kind of semi-annual trainings we'll have as the subject when we're in the 70th week. What kind of conferences, what kind of iteros will we have? Surely the Lord will lead us exactly where we need to be. I don't know what you're thinking about this. I believe, to me, this is entirely possible. That I personally like to be with you all until the end and meet you again before the throne. But before that, I'll continue this message. Okay. So in spiritual sense, we are now in the day of Christ's warfare. And for him, we need to be voluntary offering, a free will offering, in order to engage in spiritual warfare to defeat God's enemy and bring in the kingdom of God. We need an absolute and thorough consecration to the Lord. In the eyes of God, such The concentration is a matter of splendor. But just the prayer rising up, Lord, move in the lives of thousands of saints to have this kind of consecration at the end of the age. So now we go to the second section. The Father has delivered us out of the authority of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Notice, the Father delivered us. Father, thank you. You transferred us out of the authority of darkness. You transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The authority of darkness denotes the authority of Satan. God is light and Satan is darkness. Satan's authority of darkness is the authority of evil in the heavenlies, in the air. The authority of evil, of rebellion in the heavenlies, is the kingdom of Satan, the authority of darkness. To be delivered out of the authority of darkness is to be delivered from the devil, who has the might of death. We have been delivered from the devil, Satan, by the death of Christ and by the life of Christ in resurrection. Now we come to a very precious part. The Father has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So the general subject is living in the reality of the kingdom. Now we want to see that the reality of the kingdom, in essence, is the realm of the Son of His love. Right now He's ruling over us, not by power, not even by the authority that He has, but it's the Son of His love. And I've considered these points so many times, and I find it, I can't explain any of them. It's just enough to read. Then let all of us in our relationship with the Lord can get some enlightenment. I just know it's real to be in this realm, to be under love at this very moment. Have you not had an experience like this? You knew you made a big mistake, or something even worse than the word mistake. And you had to come back to have contact with the Lord. And I wonder, what's going to happen? Surely I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to be punished. But again and again, there's love. That's not all that happens, but that's the essence. Ron, you're in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. This is how I reign. I will apply other things to deal with their errors, but the essence of it is this kind of love. So the kingdom of the Son of God's love is the authority of Christ, the Son of God, is the embodiment and the expression of the divine life. Therefore, the kingdom of the Son is a realm of life. to be transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love is to be transferred into the Son who is life to us. We have been transferred not only into a realm, but into a person. Because Christ is the kingdom. We know this from Luke. The Son, as resurrection, is now the life-giving Spirit. And He rules us in His resurrection life with His love. So right now, He is ruling us in His resurrection life with His love. That's how He's ruling. And all the dear saints need to have this realization that we are all under this kind of marvelous ruling. When we live by the Son as our life in resurrection, we are living in His kingdom, enjoying Him in the Father's love. See what I mean by the sentence? I'm going to read it again, but I'm not going to try to explain it. I just can't. But I can absorb it to some extent. So that when we live by the Son as our life in resurrection, we are living in His kingdom, enjoying Him. What a realm. Enjoying Him in the Father's love. The fact that we have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love indicates that this realm of life is in love, not in fear. Many dear saints, they just have fear. I think if one of the leading brothers or the elders would call, they wonder, oh no, what have I done? You just find out as one member of the other, yes, he's had that function. So eventually the love will cast out the fear. The kingdom which we find ourselves in today is a realm full of life, light, love. The Son as the object of the divine love becomes to us the embodiment of the divine life in the divine love with the authority of resurrection. This is the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Excuse me. See what I mean? I can't explain this. I can just pray over it. I can just read it. But we can absorb it. Here, under the heavenly ruling and restriction, we have genuine freedom in love, with life, and under light. So look at this. Here, under the heavenly ruling and restriction, don't you have the feeling you're living under more restriction than you were 10 years ago? And we're going to be more restricted, but we're going to be more enjoying the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Here in the kingdom, we enjoy Christ and have the church life. What a statement here in the kingdom. Again, we enjoy Christ and have the church life. Okay, see, the kingdom of the Son of God's love is a crucial aspect of God's will. Wow. So on the one hand, we have the Son of God's love, and it's crucially related to God's will. God is a God of purpose, having a will of His own pleasure. His own pleasure. God has pleasure. The higher love, the higher life, the greater you need for pleasure. And so, and He created all things for the will so that He might accomplish and fulfill His purpose. So He created all of us for His will, that He might accomplish and fulfill His purpose. The Father's eternal will is to build up the church upon Christ, the Son, as the rock. We're familiar with Matthew very much, but this is the essence of it. The Father's eternal will is to build up the church upon Christ the Son. That's the Father's will. And if we are doing the Father's will, then our whole being will be for the building up of the church upon Christ. 3, the will of God is to obtain a body for Christ to be His fullness, His expression. Again, the will of God is to obtain a body for Christ. And the body for Christ to be His fullness, His expression. The kingdom is absolutely a matter of God's will and completely fulfills His will. In fact, the kingdom is God's will. This is a very important point. I want to emphasize it. The kingdom is absolutely a matter of God's will. And so, if we are obeying God's will, we are living in the kingdom. If we are living in the kingdom, we are honoring God's will. They cannot be separated. If anyone says, "Oh, I'm doing what God wills. He told me to buy this house, to buy this car, to do this or that." Well, I'm not going to say anything, but I would hope that anyone who would speak like this, when they have a time with the Lord, they'll remember a verse toward the end of Matthew 12. I can't quote exactly word for word, but that is, "All the words you have spoken are being recorded, and they will be played back to you at the judgment seat." That's why I'm learning at the end of a day, "Lord, I want to clear up anything today that is contrary to You, to Your will, to whatever it is. I want to clear it up now." And Sometimes nothing happened until 3 hours later I'm wide awake. And then a number of things are brought to realization. And I realize, okay, thank you. And now we clear it up. And then I can sleep again. Just this daily living. And so we are doing the Father's will by being in the kingdom. Okay, D. In the kingdom of the Son of God's love, there is only one person, the all-inclusive Christ, and one way, the cross. So, only one person here. Christ, more and more, is becoming our person, our being. The one person, Christ, is the center, the focal point of the universe. God's intention is not to give us many items. He intends to give us one person, the all-inclusive Christ. Again, I pause here. All over the recovery, all-inclusive Christ. We're very familiar with the words. Again, if we were having a kind of semi-training, we would say, what does it mean to you that Christ is all-inclusive? Is Christ all-inclusive? Every week? I just wonder, again, another sidebar comment, about several months ago, I was just asked by the leading brothers in Anaheim, we had all the districts together, could you just share something to the whole church? And I respected their request, and I brought this matter to the Lord. According to the principle in Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord was not speaking to the church, but to the messenger. And then the Spirit then would speak to all the churches. And so I just brought three matters for them to consider. Okay, the prayer meeting. Is it really a prayer meeting? Then the Lord's table. Is there anything more than singing hymns? Do we come empty-handed? Do we come with the riches of Christ or laboring on Christ? And we praise Him with this. We worship the Father with this. And then the prophesying meeting. With someone I'm close to in fellowship, so I could just say this brother to brother. I said, Ron, are you staying for the prophesying meeting today? And I just said, and again, in a kind way, I will come for the prophesying meeting when there's prophesying in the meeting. Because it's 90% talking. But we have the Word. This is what I mean. And I just would ask all of you, including myself, but I'm not an elder, I'm not a leading one in that sense, about do we really know the actual condition of our church? Do we really know from the Lord's point of view? Then if we are open to Him, surely the light will come. The cross is the center of God's government. By the cross, God has dealt with all the negative things in the universe. God governs everything by the cross and deals with everything on the cross. Again, just a little comment. God's government. I'm not going to ask you to attend something. I'm just telling you. I was asked by the brothers, there's going to be a meeting in the afternoon from 3 o'clock on. They have the Lord's table just with the saints here. And would you share something? And it's going to be on our living in two realms. The realm of grace and the realm of government. And I realize maybe 2% of the saints have any awareness of God's government. That we're living under it. That is why we need to be enlightened so that we can live in two realms in a normal way. Okay, G. In the kingdom of the Son of God's love, Christ has the first place, the preeminence in all things. Like in our marriage, like in our family, like in everything. He is preeminent. If we see the vision of the preeminence of Christ, our Christian life and our church life will be revolutionized, for we will realize that in all things, Christ must be first. What a statement. In everything. If I'm going to have my heart surgery, the center of this is not my heart. It's not the surgeon. It's not the hospital. It is Christ to have the first place. And what is going on? And the hours of recovery, the day of recovery. In this, Christ must have the first place. To give the Lord the first place in all things is to love Him with the first love, the best love, in order to give Christ the preeminence. We must be willing to be adjusted, to be broken, and to be made nothing, so that He can have a way in us, through us, and among us for the building up of the organic body of Christ. In 2019, in response to a message I gave during the semi-annual training, I received some quite negative emails. And one young sister, you know, was saying so many things and said, you need to realize you're nothing. You're nothing. And my gentle response was, before you were born, I realized I am nothing, I have nothing, I can do nothing. The all-inclusive Christ is everything. Amen. What a relief. Okay, three, the final part, about 2 minutes. In the kingdom of the Son of God's love, we experience and enjoy Christ in all his all-inclusiveness. Christ is the embodiment of the triune God, the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Christ is one allotted portion, our good land, the divine inheritance for our enjoyment. Christ is the reality of every positive thing in the universe. Amen. Christ is the one sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. Christ dwells in us as our hope of glory. Amen. Christ is our life. Amen. Christ is the constituent of the one new man. Amen. Christ really is everything. Please pray for a minute with someone nearby.